Rita, you mentioned that you're getting ready for a glorious Christmas celebration for your clients, your patients, your dear ones in Lynn. Tell us something about it.
Well, we bring them to, I told you about the wonderful parishioners who go and get them. Bring them to the parish center where we have a very beautiful mass for them. The priests are there for the mass. Three priests are there. And then at the conclusion of the mass, we have the back of the hall set up, all Christmas decorations, which the women of our parish have done for us. They prepared the luncheon that's served, and they're there to serve it. And then we have Santa Claus.
Oh, wonderful.
Who comes and goes around, and everybody that gets a little gift from as a memento.
How do you provide for gifts?
Interestingly enough, our program is supports itself. Twice a year, Sister Mary and I go to the back of the church with our baskets.
Really?
And the announcement is made that Sister Mary and Sister Rita are there to collect for their elderly people.
Beautiful.
To support their program. And the people, it's unbelievable, the generosity.
Well, they see where it's going. They know, and of course people trust nuns.
Twice a year, in the fall and in the spring.
Isn't that beautiful?
And we have nothing to worry about as far as expenses are concerned. We have all this for the Christmas party. Then twice a year we bring those that are ambulatory to the church for a beautiful anointing ceremony at 12 o'clock noon. And then from there we go to the rectory, and they serve a lovely, again, the women at the parish, serve a lovely luncheon to them. And all this, again, is made possible through the collections that we have twice a year.
Very good.
And in addition to that, we also are able to be available for funerals, the wakes, and also to be able to send cards at, you know, holiday times. We are able to send cards to them.
You're kept very busy.
Yes, very busy. In addition to this precious ministry that we've been talking about, I've had many more surprises and treasures from me waiting in the lane. I found myself part of a pastoral team made up of three priests and three sisters who really share. We pray together, we work together, and we play together. Every 3 weeks, we meet in the rectory from 9:15 to 11:15 in the morning with a facilitator from Catholic Charities in Lynn.
Do you want to name the three priests and the three sisters for us?
Yes, Father Gallagher, Father John Gallagher, Father Leonard Pelletier, and Father Harold Lawson. And Sister, originally, it was Sister Florence Barton, Sister Mary Kelleher, and myself. And since that time, Sister Mary Kelleher and I are the two that are left. And this group is just another manifestation of God's love and support, and I will never forget them at the time of Eileen's death. And then about 5.5 years ago, a woman was invited to come to our parish team. Our parish team meets once a month. It's made up of 9 lay people and the rest of the staff at St. Joseph's. And Nancy came with a dream to share with us.
Nancy who?
Nancy Ryan, mm-hmm. From Marblehead.
I see.
Came to share her dream. She envisioned a place where the hungry could come each day to an atmosphere of dignity, love, and caring to be fed. And I was privileged to be one of the founders of my brother's table, a place where Nancy's dream was fulfilled.
I've been waiting to hear about my brother's table. You finally have brought me to that point.
I served there for 3 years on the board as secretary and treasurer. And from the very moment that we brought interested people from every denomination together on an Ash Wednesday, the hand of the Lord was on our work.
So you would say this is an ecumenical
very
project.
Very
beautiful.
We gathered, five of us gathered together during Lent 5 years ago, five and a half now, and sent out letters to every social organization, to every religious organization, any place that we could think of where people might respond to this
need.
Mm-hmm. And that Ash Wednesday, we had a meeting in the afternoon and also one in the evening, and we had at least 150 people who responded with great enthusiasm.
That's amazing.
We got our logo for our table right at that meeting. There's so many things that happened at that meeting. Yeah. And then, as I said, just the hand of the Lord was there for everyone.
And are there clergy from other denominations?
Yes, they come sometimes in with the group. It's mostly the group from the other churches who come rather than the clergy. But there are a few who do come, you know, with the group.
Great.
Mm-hmm. So, today, 7 days a week, there are 200 to 250 people that are fed.
Every day.
At the table, every night.
Every night.
Every day, from Monday through Friday, it's from 5:30 to 7:30, and Saturday and Sunday, it's from 1:30 to 3:30. But they're there.
That is marvelous.
To feed these people. And these meals are provided by either a civic or a religious organization. And at present, we have over 200 volunteers who take their turns serving at these meals.
And now tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Will you be serving a meal?
There'll be a meal there tomorrow. The turkeys, they get so many turkeys donated that we are able to take some of those turkeys and use them in our St. Vincent de Paul program.
Wonderful.
So it's beautiful. The volunteers assemble in prayer each night before we open up the doors at 5:30. And at the end of the evening, each one of us are just filled with gratitude and amazement at what we've received from these poor and hungry. It's unbelievable. The gratitude in their hearts. It's quite an experience.
I'm sure it is.
It is. I'm sure. I go once a month now. I was very, very much involved. But it has become such a large organization. We have a full-time director. We have a part-time administrator, assistant administrator. We have a full-time cook and a part-time cook. We have an advocate person who's taking care of that. And we have a person who is in charge of volunteers. So it has become quite an organization.
Right.
And all this is paid for by donations that come. We have received, we haven't applied for any big grant. We have received a few small grants.
Have you received
grants.
Some city grants or state grants?
No, we've stayed away, we've tried to stay
have
away
you,
from that. And so far, we've been successful.
This is private
donations.
Donations.
Mm-hmm.
That is wonderful.
So it has truly been God's work.
Very good.
And then I told you about our St. Vincent de Paul. That is another mind-blowing experience for me. 2 years ago, there were about 10 very wonderful, dedicated men in our parish who had up the St. Vincent de Paul. And we received an invitation, Sister Mary and I received an invitation to become part of that group. And that entailed going every Wednesday night over to the rectory, part of the rectory, and being there to meet these people who are homeless and hungry.
They themselves appear at this meeting?
No, it's not a meeting. They come, they have a room where they come in and assemble.
I see.
They can come at any time, and then we bring them in and you interview them.
I see.
You know, and there isn't any one of them that goes away without a large bag groceries, and then as you hear their story, if there is some great need, like for money for heat or money for rent,
sure.
If it warrants it, vouchers are made out right there for them to use.
That is wonderful.
And a given night, there anywhere from 22 to 36 people.
Really?
That we reach and are able to help. And then following that, the highlight of that is we go into a meeting together that opens with prayer. And then we share around the table what everybody has had and their need, what they've had to, you know, look into and how they have any needs or people that they know. And it's a just, it's a mind-blowing experience.
I'm sure it is.
And then quarterly we meet with the whole, all of the academy. We parishes. But St. Joseph's is the one parish we are just situated, you know, where the need is.
I was going to say, you're perhaps the poorest parish
the poorest
in the Vicariate.
Parish. And many of those other parishes, it's amazing.
Can help us.
They send their checks to us.
Marvelous.
Yes, thousands of dollars a year. Isn't to help these people.
That is certainly, as you say, mind-blowing. Mm-hmm.
And the most recent thing, Sister Mary Kelleher, who was very much interested in the alcoholics, the ministry to the alcoholics, came to me and said, would you mind if we opened the downstairs in our convent? It's really the Religious Education Center. We live in the middle floor. We have a beautiful apartment, everything we need in the middle floor of the old convent. Then up above us, the bedrooms were broken down into classrooms and wall-to-wall carpeting for them. And then the lower, first bottom floor is opened up. It has been broken down into nice classrooms for the CCD also. Our old dining room is a conference room.
Is that right?
Our parish chapel is used as the parish chapel every morning from Monday through Saturday for a 7:30 mass for the parish.
For the parish, that is beautiful.
And our old kitchen is there so that if they had a function where they needed
facilities,
they would be there.
Fine.
So Mary came and said, would you mind if we use the lower part of the building for a meeting, a woman's meeting, non-smoking, on Tuesday mornings for about an hour and a half? And I said, no, of course not. But I said, why would you use the bottom floor? I said, what's the matter with our community? Because we have a beautiful community room upstairs, which is open, which we do open, you know.
To the people.
To the people.
Surely.
And so I said, what would be wrong with using the upstairs? And she said, well, nothing, but are you sure? And I said, of course I'm sure. So she checked it out for the priests. Of course, they were delighted.
Of course.
And as a result, we have it'll be a year in January that we have this meeting from 9 to 10:30 on Tuesday mornings. And there are about 22 beautiful ladies who meet there every Tuesday. And I'm sure that they bring great, great blessings. They feel we bring blessings.
I know.
They have no idea the blessings that they bring around.
It can be very humbling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For those working with those great people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's wonderful, Rita. God bless you. But now I know you have something more to tell me.
Oh, I need to talk about my tweeting.
You want to talk about Eileen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And next to my mother and dad, perhaps the greatest treasure, most precious treasure that I've ever had is my twin Eileen. She was special to me, but she was special to everyone, to all those that she knew. And of course, my joy was complete when she entered the Sisters of St. Joseph in 1937. In those early years, we weren't able to get together too often. But as time went on, things got better. But always in Eileen's life and religion, it was the shadow of suffering. And through the long, many periods of sickness, she always emerged with a smile, renewed hope, and went on again with them. During these years, I so tried so hard to make things right that I'm sure that there were times when I had to try to go crazy with my smothering and overprotectiveness. but she never showed that. And then there came a day when I was able, during one of my annual retreats, to turn Eileen over to God, to put her in the hands of my loving God. And from that day on, peace and serenity came to me. I didn't try quite so hard anymore.
That's hard to do.
And I'm convinced that the Lord was preparing me for that day when he would take Eileen home for himself. The Spirit of Christ shone through Eileen to all with whom she came in contact. There were her sisters at Bethany whom she served so well and who loved her so much. Eileen spent her last 7 years at the monk, where again she found her happiness in a loving community. It was here in her last illness that she was blessed with unusual peace and serenity, and that unusual acceptance of whatever God wanted, which was ever present in her life. Over and over she'd say, "Whatever will be, God's will be done." And none of us ever dreamed that Eileen would not return to her beloved mom. Along with so many others, I miss her so much, and yet I wouldn't trade places. I wouldn't have her trade places. I know that she's happy where she is, and she's very, very present to me in so many ways. And I know, too, that she's waiting for me. And as I reflect on what God has done for me in my life, I only can cry out with Mary, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has done great things for me. He who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name."
Thank you, Rita.